The Gemara brings down, in the name of Rabbi, in the name of Rabbi Elazar, that if you have a mixture of water which is kosher to be metaher, someone who's tamei meis, and water which is pasul to be metaher, a tomas meis. So the halacha is that the entire mixture is kosher. And the Gemara gives the ratio of kosher waters to pasul waters as mechza al mechza. It's a 1-to-1 ratio. And Rashi, as well as the Rashi Ksaviad, says that this 1-to-1 ratio is lav dafka. It's an example, but the ratio can even be a rov, more than 50% of pasul water, to a miut, to less than 50% of kosher water. And even so, even though the rov of the mixture is pasul, the mixture will still be kosher for doing hazah and for being mitaher, a person from Tomas Meis. And Rashi explains that the reason that the entire mixture is pasul is because hazah inot tzricha shiur, because even the smallest amount of kosher water can already accomplish the same as a larger amount. Even a tiny drop can be metaher, a tummy person. So Rashi's addressed why it should be that if there's a hazah from this mixture of water, that we're not going to say that it's pachus mikashir. We're not going to say that because there's so much pasul water in the hazah, that there probably wasn't enough kosher water to be metaher the person. The reason that we don't say that is because there's no maximum or even minimum shiur for the kosher water. Even a tiny drop is going to be metaher the tummy person. And there's for sure a tiny drop of kosher water that was poured out with this mixture. What Rashi doesn't address is why don't we say that the kosher water is batel beruv, such a principle in the entire Torah, that when you have a small amount of substance that's mixed up into a larger amount of substance, that the smaller amount loses its identity and rather instead takes on the identity of the larger amount. And this is called bittul beruv. So why don't we say bittul beruv over here? Why don't we say that the small amount of kosher water loses its identity and instead takes on the identity of the larger amount of pasul water? So I think there's two possibilities, both of which are not the chiddush so much in halacha, but maybe in application over here are a bit of a chiddush. The first one is, we know there's a machlokes about whether min b'mino is batel or min b'mino is eno batel. The chachamim say the min b'mino is batel, in which case here where we have water and water, that's min b'mino. So therefore, the Chachamim would say that the kosher water should be batel. But Rabbi Yehuda says the min b'mino is eno batel. That the only time there's bittel is when there's min b'she'eno mino. Water in wine or water in orange juice. Water in water is min b'mino and it's not batel. So maybe our Gemara is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says min b'mino lo batel. So that's one possibility. Obviously, we're talking about Rabbi here, that's Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Maybe it's the same person, maybe not Rabbi Yehuda. There's other Rabbi Yehudas amongst the Tanaim. It's not clear that this has to be the same Rabbi Yehuda. The second possibility, though, is based on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, in the last parak, says that Tevel and Tosfos earlier on in our parak brings down that the same applies for Truma, is never Batel. Even B'masha, who is not Batel. It never loses its identity, even though it's mixed up with 100 or 1,000 times its volume of kosher food. Tevel means food which did not have the truma tithes taken away from it. It's forbidden to eat. Neither a Yisrael nor a Kohen can eat tevel until it's been tithed. So what happens if a tiny, minute, a minuscule amount of tevel gets mixed up with a large amount of kosher food? The Gemara says it remains asur, and you cannot eat single bite from the mixture until you've identified the tevel and removed it from the mixture. And the Gemara is bothered, why is this so? Why should it be that tevel resists the ordinary rules of Bitl Barov, that we don't say that this minute amount of tavel loses its identity in the larger amount of kosher food. Why does tavel resist the rule of Bitl Barov? And the Gemara answers, that tavel is not Bitl Barov because the same way that even if you had a big pile of tavel, you took out one tiny amount, one tiny grain of tavel, and you declared that grain to be truma, and the remainder of the pile is chulin. So that shows that the shiur of kol shehu, the shiur of a minuscule amount, is capable of accomplishing tremendous things when it comes to the tavel. Hilchos Tavel. A minute amount can accomplish tremendous things by Hilchos Tavel. So that gives it chashivos. It gives chashivos even to the most minute amount. Just like we saw earlier, Tosfos, that a berya, even if it's very, very small, is davar chashuv and is not batel, even in many, many times its value, because a berya is chashuv. So too, Tavel, a minute amount of Tavel is chashuv because it's capable of being matier the entire mixture of tavel just from that minute amount. So maybe we can say that the same thing applies in our Gemara as well. Since we have a klal by Hazah that even the most minute amount of water is capable of transforming a tamei person into a tahar person, so that shows that in Hilchos Hazah, in Hilchos Mechatos, in Hilchos Tumas Meis, that a tiny amount of mechatos is a davar chashuv ma'id, something which is incredibly chashuv. And as such, it's not going to be batel. Just like tavel, small amount can go a long way in Hilchos Tavel, so therefore the most minute amount of tavel is not batel. So too over here, by hazas mechatos, since a small amount of mayim can go a long way and be metahir, someone who's tamei meis, therefore the small amount of mayim is not going to be batel. So all of this has to do with bitul. If we take a step back, so we'll realize that when you have a mixture, there's three possible outcomes, halachically. One outcome says that the two elements of the mixture can coexist. Neither of them will nullify the other one. The other two outcomes are that one side will nullify the other. That either the majority of the mixture will co-opt the minority and the entire mixture will take on the identity of the majority, or vice versa. Perhaps the minority of the mixture will significantly alter the identity of the majority to the point where the majority, if it does not take on the identity of the minority, at least has its identity weakened or transformed into something else. What do I mean by this? The Be'er Sheva, in his Tshuvos, which is brought down by the Sefer Halikutim earlier on in our parak, says the following, and it's also a Pischei Tshuva in the end of Simon Kuftes Vav or Kuftes Zayin, maybe Kuf Yod Zayin. What happens if you have a roiv of kosher food and a miut of treif food? So we know that if that miut is tavel, so the miut retains its identity, and because the miut retains its identity, just like a berya, you can't eat anything from the mixture for fear lest you ingest that miut which retained its identity. But say the Be'er Sheva and the Pischei Tshuva, it can go even beyond that. It's possible that even when the miut, even when the minute amount of treif is neither a berya nor tavel, and therefore the minute amount is going to be batel, it's going to lose its identity and take on the identity of the majority, there still is something called mechur hadavar. It's a disgusting thing. It's not aesthetically pleasing to eat anything from this mixture. What's a svaras hadvarim? After all, there's a million billion times the volume of treif food, a million billion times that volume of kosher food. So the treif food should lose its identity. It should totally be subsumed under the identity of the kosher food. Why is it that these achronim say that it's mechur hadavar. We don't paskin this way, by the way. We paskin that if a tiny amount of treif fell into a large amount of kosher, that unless it's one of the exceptional dvarim chashuvim, that it will be batel, and that it's not considered at all admirable or desirable to abstain from the mixture. But this is a shita which is brought down in the Be'er Shava and in the Pischi Tshuva. So what's pshat in the shita? So I believe that the pshat is as follows. Pshat is that something which is 100% is qualitatively different than something which is 99%, or even something which is 99.9%. Whenever you have a mixture, even if it's a mixture of 99% with 1%, its identity will be slightly different than a mixture which is 100%. And you find this in a lot of areas of halacha, let's say in Hilchos Sanhedrin, where for certain halachas you need unanimous consent. If there's not unanimous consent, then we don't do anything. What's pshat? Because there is a special quality that unanimity has, which is not possessed when there is some sort of a split, some sort of a division, some sort of a tension. So a food which is entirely composed of kosher has one qualitative status. A food which has a majority of kosher and a minority of treif has a different status. The same way that by the Sanhedrin, if there's a majority, in Achinami, the halacha follows the majority, but in some ways, that halacha which follows majority is not the same as a halacha which was paskened unanimously. And that's why these achronim say it's mechur hadavar. Because this minute and minuscule amount of iser, even though it does not succeed in retaining its identity, like tevel would retain its identity, or like mechatos would retain, or like a burial would retain its identity, does succeed in attenuating slightly the identity of the heter. The heter is no longer a unanimous heter, it's a disputed heter. There's a minority opinion inside of it. And therefore, the heter remains mutter, but it's also a little bit mechur. It's a little bit aesthetically displeasing to eat. And based on this, I think also we can explain the opposite direction. There's a strange Mordechai, Meseches Be'ah. The Mordechai says that if you're eating food and there's a possibility that you're going to be eating something which is totally treif, so then we're going to be machmir. Not machmir legami to be oser, because we're talking about a case where there is bitul berov already, but machmir to require you to throw out one chaticha or one bit from the mixture in order to create the possibility that the suffix, that the iser is no longer in the mixture. Will be machmir in a case where there's a chance that you're going to eat an undiluted iser. But, says the Mordechai, when we're talking about a mixture of lach belach, a mixture of moist things, watery things, or a flour, things that can get mixed up very finely with one another, so then, because of the principle of Yesh Bila, which the Gemara discusses in our daf as well, because of the principle that every single drop, every spoonful, every drop that comes out of a dropper will automatically have some heter and some iser. It'll automatically have some of every single part of the mixture inside of it. Therefore, paskins the Mardechai, you don't have to be mashlich anything, because there never is going to be an undiluted iser. Every iser that you're going to eat, even let's say if you have one drop, which is roiv iser and miud heter, but because the iser is going to be diluted, therefore, says the Mardechai, we don't need to be machmir. Because a diluted iser, an iser which is not unanimously aser, but which has elements of heter inside of it, is not the same as something which is aser legamri, something which is unanimously aser.